So you kind of answered yourself. Up until this year, every year I would do, I lived in America, so I did two seders. One of them would be just my family. Doesn't matter the first or the second. But one would be just me, my wife, and the kids, and nobody else. And it was the best seder ever. And if there's. Efogardi, in New York or Los Angeles. So. Almost any family has some toxic when you put them all together. So, in something so holy and special like Leil Seder, so you say, I'll keep the toxic part for the barbecue on Chol HaMoed, and the Seder, I'm going to make something special. Now, in Israel, you only have one, so you keep the toxic meal to the Chol HaMoed barbecue. If you're in America, so you say, okay, one of them is just the family. Listen, you can't make everybody happy ever. So you can do it in a very diplomatic way, and you can always find a loophole. Now, if you're in the same hotel, that's a little bit harder than when you live somewhere and you're saying we're invited. So, listen, you can't make anybody happy 100%, but spiritually, you want to have at least one night that it's you, your husband, the kids, and it's powerful and it's uniting and special. And no screaming and no nonsense. You want to have it. Anyways, listen, if people's personality is like you said, you don't want to get them hurt, they're going to get hurt, doesn't matter what you're going to do. That's a personality. So you do what's good for you and what's good for your family dynamics and for the spirituality for your kids that will grow with this Seder for the rest of their life. And the person that can't hold their anger will still get upset at you, doesn't matter what you're going to do. So you just maneuver it so that the damage is as minimal as possible. But spiritually, the way it's going to affect the family dynamics is priceless. So, like I said, every family has their issues. So I make sure that when it's suspicious times, that I know it's going to directly affect the close part of the family, then I make sure, okay, so I have to make some other people not so happy. But I sometimes have to be a little bit selfish and think of my own personal family. And you want to do it with as least damage as possible and as with much Ahavat Yisrael as possible. And to know that not everybody's going to always be happy, how do you say, troopers? That's part of the fun.
What when you don't know what God really wants you to do?
Nobody knows what God really wants you
Let's
to
say
do.
for Leila said that if my husband wants to invite his parents who don't keep
That
a
doesn't.
real seder, and I know they will have their toxic remarks, let's say, so it's kibbutz orim of his kibbutz orim, or
Listen, when it comes
so
to
it's all.
mitzvot, kibud urim is a very big mitzvah. But if it comes on the account of doing the opposite of what God tells you, then you don't have to do the kibud urim. If a
No,
person.
but they will have those toxic remarks at the Seder. It's not that they will do
There's
something not
no
kosher, but they will have those remarks.
black and white because. So you can look at it in two ways. One way you can look at it that if you will invite them, maybe it will affect them and something positive will come out of it. So the toxic remarks, you turn your head around. But sometimes you can look at it that dafka, if they will come, the reaction is going to be negative, so sometimes it's better not to come. That's why he says, "Ezo chacham haroet hanolad." You have to see what's going to be the result. If the end result is going to be positive, but on the way, the journey is not going to be 100%, so he's saying, "I'll sacrifice the journey because the result is positive." But if chas v'shalom the result is negative, then why should I sacrifice the way if the result anyways is going to be negative? Unfortunately, there's no black and white answers to any situation. Because you have to say, the way how I look at it is what's going to be the results. I try to look what's going to be the end result of what's going to happen right now. And if the end result is going to be positive, so even if the road is not, or the journey is not, or the process is not, okay, I have to do that. That's my Mesirut Nefesh. But ultimately is the result. And if the result, same thing with you, if the result is going to be not good, so what's the point? And again, You have to kind of weigh the pros and the cons. What's going to be positive? Okay, sometimes nothing is 100%. And if I'm going to cause now somebody to observe the holiday because I'm inviting them and I have to tolerate a few remarks, so I'll tolerate the remarks, but that person will do a mitzvah. Yeah, it's like somebody not too long ago, one of my father's best friend's daughter came to visit New York where I live, and she called me like a day or two before Yom Kippur, and she tells me, I want to spend Yom Kippur the right way. Now this is a secular girl. And I was like, wow, I have an opportunity now to host a secular girl to do Yom Kippur the right way. And then she came with a condition, but I have to bring my dog with me. I told her, what, the dog? The dog is not Jewish, she doesn't need to keep Yom Kippur.
What's the problem with the dog?
That was the condition. That wasn't a problem with the dog. The condition was that she has to bring the dog with her. Now in my mind, I'm like, I don't want her to bring a dog. You know, it's a holy day. I don't need a dog between my legs now. Anyways, the point was, she came with the dog. That wasn't the point. Because the bottom line was like, what's more important? Me being particular now with a little animal? Or me taking now a girl that is not going to observe the Yom Kippur if I don't take her? And if she comes, I'll make sure that she fasts, and she's going to go to the Bet Knesset, and hear the shofar, and do it the right way, so I'll suffer the dog. Azma. Some people will be like, nope, the dog is not coming, I don't care. So, how I see it is, what's going to be the result? If the result is positive, is the result what's the Ratzon HaElyon, what Hashem wants, then I'll suffer the journey, and if it's not sometimes matimli, it's not according to what I want. Okay. It's not always about me. But in not all the cases it's right, because in some cases, you know, if the situation is too toxic and the result is going to be negative, so don't start.
This is not fun. Everyone is firmer than me.
So sometimes the result is the sanity of the family. And sometimes the result is what the child is going to remember for the rest of their life. My grandmother, till the day she died, when she was 92 years old, always, oh, I remember how my Zaidi used to do this and used to do that. Stuck engraved in her mind what the Zaidi used to do. So sometimes it's not about, you know the immediate result. Sometimes it's what's going to be generations. So one needs to do an analogy. What's going to be the result, and if the result is going to be according to the Ratzon of the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Does that also apply to, like, if we want to invite somebody for a Shabbat meal, but they won't stay, and they're going to drive?
Then according to Halakha, you can't invite them. You can just tell, you can't directly invite them. If you know they're going to drive to your home, you cannot tell them, please come to my Shabbat meal. You can tell them, listen, we're having a Shabbat meal at 2.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bezat Hashem, we'll see you right after Pesach. You can't tell a person directly to come to your house on Shabbat. You can say, what I tell guests or people, I tell them, Friday night meal is at 8, Shabbat meal is at 1, we have amazing food and great hospitality, and the wine is unbelievable. That's it. You want to come, come. You don't want to come, don't come. So, in essence, I want them to come. Because I want them to enjoy the Shabbat meal, hear some Torah, eat kosher food, listen to Kiddush. I want them to come. But, you know, my table sometimes, you know, our Shabbat table is like a feast. 30, 40 people every Shabbat. Half of them are not religious. I'm more interested to bring the ones who are not religious. So I see some of them texting under the table. They're going out, turning on the lights, you know. And some people tell me, look, he's texting. He's doing this. I'm like, he's going to text, whether it's he's in my home or somewhere else. He's still going to text. I'd rather him text in my table and eat kosher food and hear some Torah than to text now in a club. So, of course I want them to come, but you know, you have to know how to do it. You can't invite somebody directly to your Shabbat meal. But you want to say it in a way that they will know that you want them to come. But you can't directly invite somebody, oh, please come to my Shabbat meal, and it's at 2 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. You can tell the person before Shabbat, listen, I know you're going to drive, and it's Chilul Shabbat, and I can't be fake. I have to tell you, yes, it's desecrating Shabbat. You do whatever you want. You're an adult. The Torah says you're not allowed to drive on Shabbat. But if you have nowhere to eat, we're having our meal at 1. It will be nice to have you, etc., etc. You have to be very careful with how you say things, because dafka with Shabbat, you can't get caught with your words, because then chas v'shalom, you have part of the chilul Shabbat. So you have to be very particular how you say things. But yeah, you want to have people on your Shabbat table, because you want them to eat kosher food and hear kiddush. And see, you know, my wife, when she grew up, she was totally not religious. And she said that one of the things that most aroused the desire in her to be religious is the Shabbat meals that she used to go to families and see what the beauty around the table. And she was 16 and 17, and she says, I want to have this one day. So yeah, you want to bring people to you, because the power of Shabbat does penetrate. And you have to be very particular how you're inviting the people. It's not so simple.
So she cooks for 40, and how does she know if she cooks for 20 or for 40?
What do you mean?
You never know how many people you're going to have at your table.
Oh no, she runs the Shabbat table. I don't interfere. She knows who comes.
Ah, so she does know?
Look, if there's another 3 people, 4 people, zeh lo meshaneh, you know, if you're serving, if the soup is like this, zeh lo meshaneh, if it's 20, 30 people, 30 people. The thing is, the house is not that big, so she knows who's coming. Somebody tags along another friend, it's not the end of the world. But you know, on the same idea, we have a habit that once a month, we don't have guests. It's just a family. Yes, it's a very big mitzvah to have guests and to do achnasat tochim. Yeah, but once a month, we don't have guests. It's just the family. It's just me, my wife, my kids. My kids get attention. Because when we have guests, what attention can I give my kids? Here and there. So sometimes you have to know when you have to do sacrifice, and sometimes when it's time to do Hashem's will. Everything is Hashem's will. Even giving, you know, your kids the right time is also Hashem's will. You have to do everything, you know, b'gvul ha'tam ha'tov, how they say. Nothing comes so simple and easy.